Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike, I'm sensing a new feature here. I like Mike reads headlines and instantly reacts.
His feed.
Yeah, Mike's feed.
That is Seattle shooting manhunt after one person killed and seven wounded.
I think it's tailored to the person's interests, Mike, clearly, because we have...
The media must call out Senate Republicans' willful ignorance.
I have none of that.
And my feed is all about
the
fast food
sci-fi
coupons.
Movie you need to watch on Netflix before it leaves in February.
$2 breakfast at McDonald's.
I'm curious about Bloomberg, and these commercials are very well done. I mean, they're really, really well crafted.
Spare no expense, Mike. Spare no expense.
Millions and billions of dollars.
Just like Jurassic Park.
But the one thing.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
All right, Oscar came in here today saying that he's got something really, really cool that happened on the way to work.
Not cool. It
was
disturbing.
It was bad. It's disturbing.
It's disturbia.
As a guy who lives in the city, what he is, he's an A-plus people watcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
when you said disturbing, was it something you observed?
It's something that Shannon wanted to call the police about, and I waved her off quickly. I said,
and how often does she threaten to do this?
She doesn't like to get involved, I would say. She's not an active citizen. She's not in citizen
control.
Well,
it sounds like that's exactly what she is if she wanted to call the police about something.
Mike, what have you always said? If you see something, say something.
Yeah, but he said, how often does she do this? How often does she ask, Rob said, to call the police? And I said, she never does that.
Not even around the house?
No, not even around the house.
Okay.
There's nothing.
Carla's a big jumper in her, like to the point where, you're going to get us killed, you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's right. She, after 9/11, was it after 9/11 that she saw some people with some suitcases and then you guys went and parked and called police?
No, I don't think that was her.
It was like 10 years after 9/11.
I went into a restaurant.
Yeah.
It was like 10 years after.
Yeah, it was like you were living in Florida. And
okay,
you saw a guy at a
please
bus stop. As I recall, it was like a guy at a bus stop who left his suitcase behind. And so
like
she
a
called.
Big, it's a shady suitcase.
So she had you call the authorities. But
and you both went and parked
and watched
authorities
the whole thing
come
go down.
And find this man and look through his suitcase.
But the problem I have is the fact that, like, you could say, you know, today is after 9/11. It's just, you know. 20 years after 9/11.
Well, I remember right after 9/11.
I
remember right after 9/11, I was in a restaurant. It's called Pete's Summer Shack. It's up off the T in Boston, just outside of Boston. Yes. And it's a seafood joint up there. And I remember this was very shortly after 9/11. And somebody had left a duffel bag.
Oh, boy.
In our booth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I totally freaked.
I think a lot of our audience remembers that time, ever vigilant, right?
Since we brought it up, one of the weird things, correct me if I'm wrong with the timeline, is shortly after 9/11 in the D.C. area.
Oh, boy.
We had the Malvo D.C.
sniper. Yeah.
And that was...
The shooter's a horrible time.
That was going on when Robert was born, because I remember being in the hospital with Carrie and watching. That's when Mike Buchanan was doing mornings on Channel 9, and Mike Buchanan was out of his mind. He was getting up and grabbing his head and saying, why can't we catch this guy?
Podcast alert, the DC shootings. That is one of the featured podcasts right now on iTunes, the podcast that chronicles that whole era of our world here in the D.C. area.
It was.
It's called the D.C. Sniper.
As bad as 9/11 was for raising our awareness and making us ever vigilant, it doesn't match the tension in the D.C. area while that sniper thing was going on, because there was no pattern. There was no details.
Remember the white minivan or the white van?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember your gas promotion?
Said, yeah. I will take a bullet for our listeners. WHFS.
they came out and said, it's a white van. You know how many white vans you see at a day? Nobody knew.
The only thing that would have been more vague is if they said, citizens of Loudoun County, there is a black crossover vehicle.
Wait.
Please be vigilant.
Pony, did you say you worked at Home Depot?
I was working at Home Depot in the parking lot.
The Falls Church one?
No, the Fairfax one.
Okay.
So I was moving shopping carts in and out of a huge parking lot while these shootings were going on. It was terrifying.
Did you wear a helmet or a hard hat?
No, I just had a big bright orange apron that said shoot me. It was awesome.
Scary.
People don't remember, and
I
would shoot people at
Maddie
gas stations.
Doesn't realize what we're talking about, I bet.
Maddie. I was in Buffalo, so.
Yeah, and probably surrounded by bodyguards because you're the first child.
I was safe.
Yeah.
She was five and safe.
They would block off the gas pumps with trash bags so that you wouldn't be seen as a target. It was a horrible time.
Really
but
bad.
Anyway, you getting back to
this
your drive
this is not
drive
that type
today.
of terrorism. This is more vagrancy, if you will.
I will.
Thank you. There is an alley right across my my door where I live currently in the D.C. area. That alley is used to escape the traffic to come north towards.
You can drive through it?
Yeah, you can drive through it.
Have you ever had a rally there?
No.
You know, can he get to the story?
No rally in the alley.
Did you take Ritalin? Did you take your Ritalin today?
Like, I'd love
to
know.
We have a mailbag to get to. We have a lot of show to get to today. And I just want to hear what happened.
All I've had is my BP meds. I'm fine.
All right, very good. Do they ramp you up at all? The BP? Do they get the blood flowing better?
If staying alive is known as ramping me up, then yes, they ramp me up.
And now I'm doing what I just took. And now I'm doing just what I told him not to do.
It's fine. It's fine.
All right, get to it.
So we hit the alley, and I said, "There's a man taking a leak in the corner. Don't hit him because this is a narrow alley. It's DC." And she said, "What?" I'm like, "He's taking a leak. Don't hit him." And as a man, look, I've taken leaks in the wrong places.
Sure.
Never during the day, never in the
morning.
Not at
8:45 in the morning.
Not in Georgetown, not like a pervert, not in that manner. And the man was, I would say, if we're judging a book by its cover, he was a well-dressed man. So this man clearly had some urgency. So
you know, this was not just a person.
I felt like I saw him. I said, "This guy clearly doesn't want to be in an alley, like taking a leak in the middle of broad daylight."
Did you get the impression that he was like on his way into the city and just couldn't make it on
something
time?
Something went down, or he's got something going on. Like
he didn't recognize him.
I'm the compassionate man. My wife was dialing 911, and
well dressed,
and I said, "Put the phone down. Clearly something's going on. He'll be done in a second. He just saw us. He's embarrassed. He probably just took a leak all over his pants and he's running."
Did he appear to be embarrassed?
He looked back, and the look that you look back is a look that you look back when you remember when your mom walked in on you and you were doing something wrong. Right?
Yeah, you picked up on that. Yes, I'm with you on this one. Yeah.
So I say, look at him. He's scurrying away.
And at best, this is not a 911 situation. This is a general police.
I would say 311 is the place.
Yeah, 311
you would call,
or 411 and find out his phone number.
Nobody. Or nobody. Or you know what? How about you type it on Nextdoor when you get to work if you want. If it's that big a deal, who cares?
Did she put the phone down after that?
Put the phone down. But
are you sure she didn't pick the phone up to take a picture?
But she picked up speed, and I said, "What are you doing?" The guy's walking to his car. He's literally like he's ashamed. He's going to his car that is blocking now the alley. You could tell because he had hazards on. He clearly stopped. He saw an alley. I got to go take a leak.
Oh, so he is not only taking a whiz, but
he has
stopped
his
car
and blocked the alley leaving.
And as opposed to lingering back, she is now, that's something that
she turns into Inspector Gadget.
Mike, he is the urgent urinary commuter.
Yeah.
So she speeds up to his car to like wait and have him do the walk of shame your car?
To have the eyes, and then I should take a picture. I said, "You should take nothing. We're going to work. I do not need to be late. This man is already, he's embarrassed enough. I know this man. As a younger man, I've been this man. I know he doesn't want to be a part of any of this."
These commutes can be 2.5 hours in D.C.
Tell me about it.
And in my mind, I say, look at the plates. If the plates are out of state, then the guy is not a pervert.
If the plate is out of state, like he's
not,
going to urinate.
If they're not D.C. plates, clearly this guy's had a commute in. He had
to go. What were the plates?
Maryland.
Yep.
Okay.
I was like, all right, let's give him a pass.
But you know, I know all the places I can stop to a bathroom on my ride in because I've got a pretty long ride in too. And I know all the places I can go. Right. You have to really be really a really bad planner have to stop in Shannon's Alley.
I'm saying
it's also a weird location to be in the middle of a residential area.
Yeah. Students live in that whole corridor. Like, think
could
about.
He, did you think maybe? Did he look like maybe he was on the way to Georgetown? Did maybe
no,
look like
no,
that?
No,
a professor?
Not suit. Well dressed. Like I would say, dark jeans. Just
he could have been a hip professor.
A hip professor, maybe. A hip
like
professor.
Donald Sutherland in Animal House, yes. Mike.
No pants.
Would you give him a Xanax, please?
He's excited. I'll take it.
He's very excited, yeah, I suppose.
Good energy.
You know, I have a question. I forget it. Okay. I'm trying to ask.
Okay, the guy looked like Blagojevich. The best way I could, he looked like Mayor all right. Blagojevich.
All right, very good.
That is a deep very cut good. For those of you that care.
Love it, though. It's accurate.
Okay,
yeah.
So we get in the car, and she's like, we should probably get his license plate. I said, no, it's out of state. Like, come on. Like, you've watched too many of these Netflix shows. Like, this guy's right. not a murderer. He just had to take a leak. And I said, I bet you all these houses, I know, by the way, have cameras in the back of their houses. Somebody got them. And I'm going to see it on Nextdoor later on this week.
Like, he had some urinary urgency and he took a leak.
The guy now thinks we're pursuing him because his erratic driving of us pulling out becomes a scene out of which I haven't seen yet. Bad Boys
she
for
won't
Life.
Back off.
She will not back off.
And she's upset.
And fortunately, this guy now is going in the same direction. So she thinks this is funny to follow him. And I said, look, we're not deviating from our... Because he goes, he's going the same way. Why
that
is he driving...
not acceptable, Mr. Bernie.
Why is he driving so fast? And I said, because he probably is embarrassed. Like, yeah. I'd be swerving through these streets. And she says, no. She goes, I think he does this on a regular basis.
Yeah, based maybe. On what?
Who cares if they do?
Might
Who
have
cares?
A point,
so we finally get to the school zone. He slows down. We slow down. And she goes, take a pic. I'm like, I'm not taking a pic. I'm not. This is nothing of the tag, just in case we see it again. Like we're on some neighborhood watch that's going to look for tags and run plates. And who knows?
How close was the site of the soiling of the alley to your front door?
100 yards.
And was he going
as we were pulling in? I saw the man because a man sees another man and knows what they're doing.
Was he going mm-hmm. against the wall?
Again, the corner of the building. He clearly didn't want anybody to see him.
Okay, all right.
No, yeah, I've been there, but I mean, I'm usually there at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah,
when it comes to my bachelor party with Officer Jerky, right off 395.
You're protected by
next
the law.
Next to the van. I'm sure
you're
we give a lot
by
of good
the law.
We gave a lot of good people views that night.
And sure, you should have sold tickets.
Men have prostates. I don't know if women do. I'm sure they do as well. No, they don't. I don't know. I said, maybe he had a prostate problem. So I start getting medical on her. I'm like, maybe the guy's got to go. When he's got to go, he's got to go. And she said, okay, fine. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see a school bus, because now we're stopped at this middle school down here.
Right.
And I know that marijuana is legal, and I know it is in D.C. Like, it's fine. But I see the school bus driver standing next to the school bus, leaning against it, a female, smoking a blunt, and I in front of the school. And then I said to myself, I said, this city, all bets are off if you got a guy taking a leak in an alley, midday, broad daylight, traffic all around him. And then the bus driver is smoking a Black and Mild that just looks like a blunt. It does, right? Right in front of the school. The bus driver, the school bus driver.
You know, but they drop the kids off. You deserve a little treat. Got them there safe.
Leaning against the bus, staring at the school, smoking a blunt. And then I look at Shannon, and I was like, that upsets me more than the guy in the alley. Like, right. I don't know. And I don't have kids. I don't have kids. Didn't take pictures. But I had to share that with you guys at the city. I mean, it'll give you something new every day.
Yeah.
You never know.
Collectively, as a country, we're going insane. I believe that is the case. But you know what? I think I've got something you might really enjoy.
Please.
Because we haven't gotten to it. And it's not about you or the guy peeing
or
the guy smoking the blunt. It's about it's about our listeners. It's about those people. You. I'm talking about you, ladies and gentlemen. Tighter and brighter for your listening pleasure. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Rob, do we have some sort of last-minute gifts that
came
in
the
mail?
They came in the mail after the mailbag was published. The first one comes from listener John Jack. He says, I was catching up on the show and heard you talking about Knives Out. Great movie. This spilled over and you guys discussing Daniel Craig, which led to James Bond, then Casino Royale, and finally the torture scene. Within minutes, what should appear in my newsfeed but an ad for the La Chifra Torture Funko Pop doll This is the character, I guess, from Casino Royale that tortures James Bond.
With the rope.
Yes.
On his balls.
Yes. So please feel free to add this to the TMOS Museum of Curiosities. Thank you, John Jack. I know that Oscar loves the Funko.
Yes, absolutely. Pop dolls, Thank you so much.
For you.
That scene. Oh, God, that scene. Oh, now it's tough to get by that. Wow.
Well, here's a palate cleanser.
Some people will like keeping them inside your little box.
Yeah.
Grow up.
You're not going to resell it.
You got to open it up. You got to play with it. All right? You got to play with it.
Have fun.
Now, Mike, this has a long, rambling letter here that I'm going to spare you, but it comes from a guy named Brett. I think it would be pronounced Wiatre, W-I-A-T-R-E, or Wiatre. But he sent us some photography gifts. He applauded the fruitcakes.
Ooh.
The one thing that he laughed about is he said he once sent me a Paul McCartney bootleg. True. And he thought that I sent him a fruitcake as a way of saying thank you, but then his wife reminded him he paid for the fruitcake. So it was not a return gift. But what he has sent is original photography for all of us.
Yeah.
So for Mike, the picture for you, he writes, I present a rhino couple sunning themselves in South Africa.
Oh, look at this. This is, I'll bring it to you, Mike. I'll bring it to you.
And what's kind of neat is that his stuff is printed on tin. So it's kind of neat. Wow. It's printed on metal.
Beautiful, beautiful photography.
Yeah. He says if he recalls correctly, you have a thing for rhinos. Thank you. Is this true? That you like rhinoceri?
No.
All right. Well, he recalled incorrectly then.
No, I mean, I've said rhino, that it's a rhino. You know, I don't know.
He wanted to save the white rhino, I think, at one point.
He sent me a couple of Elvis-themed pictures that he took in Las Vegas, which is very, very nice.
Very nice.
Framed. And I like this. Oscar, for your small home, he chose a small print. It is a miniature metal picture of the Washington Monument.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh,
so
look
that's
at
for
that.
You.
Maybe somebody will take a leak on that.
And the very best thing of all for the studios, a picture of the statue of Marion Barry that stands in Ward 8.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
I love that.
And he puts them on metal.
They're on metal, and they're all limited editions. This is number 1759.
Yeah,
very cool.
Thank you.
Very, very cool.
Thank you very much, Brett. Picture. I appreciate it. I'm glad you like
that. What's his first name again?
Brett.
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 And he says thank you.
Brett.
Yeah.
Two T's.
Thank you very much.
Two T's.
The first letter says, Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, Matt, and Maddie, please wish my brother, Phil Druin, a happy birthday. He is a longtime listener since back in the WAVA days, bonus show subscriber, fruitcake enthusiast, and all-around supporter of the show. Just as the show is a highlight of our day, this shout-out will be the highlight of his year.
Wow.
Thanks for all you do to bring the funny every day, John Druin. And Phil Druin. Happy birthday, Phil.
Oh,
and
sweet.
I can say it with my new acoustics. Happy birthday to Phil Druin. This comes to the TMOS crew. Just wanted to drop a quick thank you for delivering my three missing fruitcakes. I ate half of one the first night they arrived, Rob. They are truly outstanding. And the best part is my wife doesn't like nuts in her baked confections, so they are all mine to enjoy. You guys are truly the best. Brad Norton. Did we get that video wide for all to see?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Rob, I don't think we got it.
It's everywhere.
I didn't see it on my page, did I?
I don't know that I shared it on your page, but I shared it on the show page, my page, and the
Everyone's
fan club page.
There is a video.
And there's a lot of shares, too. So.
Maddie Masiello put together that shows these wonderful fruitcakes being made, and I think you will enjoy that and dive in and see,
that's good
see
video.
The love video. That's put in there. Hey, guys, the bonus show, R.E., the bonus show, Oscar is wrong.
What?
Oh, my God.
What?
I have seen James Brown's sequin jumpsuits on display at the Augusta Airport, and they are tiny.
Hmm?
He was short, like Tom Cruise, Prince, etc. Additionally, the World Wide Web reports his height at 5'6", with platform zip boots included. That's from Maricopa Rob with 1B.
He was riding on back of a golf cart.
Okay, so you couldn't judge his height, really.
And then I'm watching him on stage left. Like, I didn't have a measuring tape, man.
So you didn't, you're only a man. Oscar.
Let it go.
Flesh and bone.
That's all.
Tall hair.
That's it. Dear respected one, I'm not sure which one he's talking to. My name is Miss Zalanda Mubarak, the only daughter of late Mr. and Mrs. Al-Haji Bilal Mubarak.
I should say, Mike, I did not edit this letter for content. This is exactly how it arrived.
The oil and gas petroleum dealer. I lost my parents in a political crisis that is the reason why I need your assistance for investment. This might be a surprise to you about where I got your contact. I got your contact from the internet search for a reliable person after I fasted and prayed. I decided to contact... There are no periods in this.
I know!
I am contacting you regarding your assistance for transfer and investing my late father deposit fund in your country. Upon your response, I will give you details about the sum of $9.5 million left for me by my late parents and how I will want you to assist me in investing it wisely in your country. I want you to know that I am willing to offer you 20% out of the total deposit fund.
That is nice.
Just for your assistance for helping me regarding the transfer. Please reply me back only if you are interested to assist me for more details. Your urgent response will be appreciated. Talk to you the more sincerely. Regards, Miss Zalanda Mubarak.
My favorite part of that letter is that if you take it at face value, she Googled reliable person and the Mike O'Mara show came up.
It's like trustworthy.
Exactly. So are we in?
And the letter starts, dear respected one. Yes. That's let's right. Who doesn't want 20% of $9 million?
That's
huh?
a lot of money. Yeah, man, U.S. dollars.
Fantastic. Hi, boys and Maddie. Please wish my father, Ken Cooper, a happy birthday. He's been listening since the terrestrial days in Sacramento, but please don't hold his choice of town against him. Sacramento still. He's a wonderful dad, and I love him very much. That said, it might be nice for him to get out and see the world for a bit. Can Mike recommend anywhere that Ken Cooper might go and what Ken Cooper might eat when he gets there? I'd appreciate the advice. Thanks, and God bless, John. All right, so where's he going again?
I've been back and forth on this, and I think what he wants is a certain wine restaurant.
Does he want a recommendation for somewhere in the world?
Well, I think it's based on the name Cooper and maybe a wine restaurant we've talked about in the past.
Oh, that's it.
Oh,
right.
I'm just guessing. You didn't want to join their wine club.
No, you don't. You don't want to join it.
Oh, can you recommend anywhere that Ken Cooper might... No, I can't recommend Cooper's Hawk.
Oh, there. Ooh. Fighting
Thank
words.
You very much.
Fighting
hey,
words.
Hey, join our wine club and then you get a special one. You.
Oh, dear.
Thanks hostility. And God bless, John. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very nice. Boy, these are some. Boy, people, shorten them a little bit. These are long letters. Dearly beloved, it is with a heavy heart that I take. Is this another one?
You're going to like this one.
But is this another?
This is a real one. This is a real one.
Dearly beloved, it is with a heavy heart that I take laptop in hand to write you this missive. Far be it from me to throw kerosene on the fire, but as we all know, democracy dies in darkness. Sunlight is the best disinfectant, and whatever other platitudes you can think of to justify sharing this tidbit. I was listening to Thursday's show and the discussion of the delay in Mike receiving his Christmas gifts from listeners. I was merely a neutral listener, thinking, man, Mike's being kind of hard on Rob. After all, he's been super busy with the holidays and baking hundreds of fruitcakes and watching old movies. It's totally understandable that he might not have gotten around to packing up some listener gifts over the past couple of weeks. Then Mike asked Rob what was in the package of gifts. Rob said, there's some vinyl from Fred Vigdor. I shouted, what the f***? Causing my wife, who was sitting in the back seat listening to a podcast about some woman murdering her husband, to whip off her headphones, worried that someone had cut us off for that, or that there was some other road mishap. When I tried to explain to her what I just heard, she sighed and said, oh, you and your boyfriends, and went back to her murder podcast. What had caused me to exclaim was not my name had been mentioned, although I admit I do get a little tingle whenever I hear my name on the radio, but the fact that I had mailed that vinyl in July. He's sacrificing himself for the show today. The LP has been sitting on Rob's desk for 6 months.
Oh, my God.
Well, is that true, Rob?
I cannot counter that claim, so I have to assume yes.
All right, what is the problem with this? Explain it to not to me, but to Fred.
The problem is that I got it, and I had every intention of getting it to you, but other things seem to take precedence
life
on a
happened.
Daily basis. It was sitting in a box, ready to go. I'm pleased to say you
That's
have it now.
That's the brand new AWB.
Yeah.
Or the brand new copy.
Yes.
Good explanation. It pains me greatly to throw my comedy buddy under the bus, but I can't let my... That was the explanation.
Well, I said it got away from me. It was there, and other things took precedence, and I apologize. And it's not going to happen anymore. You'll get your rhino picture right away.
I told you you can leave that in the
office. We got to file that.
I was just, you know...
It pains me greatly to throw my comedy buddy under the bus, but I can't let my undying respect and admiration... For my very good friend Mike, I replaced Rob with Mike, who wishes me happy birthday every year. He puts a program in it; it happens automatically.
No, I do it by hand.
That's why you've done it.
He paid somebody on Fiverr.
Get in the way of a nice on-air drubbing. My bandmates haven't nicknamed me Schadenfreude for nothing. In the interest of full disclosure, I did hold on to the album for 2 months before I actually got around to mailing it. So I'm one third as lazy as Rob. There's more.
Yes.
Well, I hope that by now Mike has the LP and his fruitcakes in his possession. I do. Where it will now sit unopened for another 9 months until he and the family get settled in the new house and finally get the turntable set up. Not to worry. I'm pretty sure the tunes will keep the music. The tunes will keep. The music is just as relevant today as it was 6 months ago. Love you guys, Fred Vigdor. Plus, P.S. Elvis was sober at the Aloha concert.
I was ashamed.
That's really the only reason you put that letter in.
No, I was ashamed. I didn't realize I'd had the LP for that long, and it has shown me the error of my ways.
Time flies.
Again, my apologies.
It's stuff for me. I understand. That's the real reason. Mm. It's my stuff. It's not yours. He doesn't need it. I'm sure that's been said. Hey, jerks, I wanted to mail you this while it's fresh in my mind. Not said out loud necessarily.
No, I've never heard
that.
I've never heard that.
No, in his mind. I wanted to mail you this while it's fresh in my mind. I just woke up from a dream. I dreamed that Mike and Rob appeared on Gary Shandling's late night talk show. Not the Larry Sanders show, by the way. Evidently, in my dream world, Gary Shandling is alive and doing late night. You guys came on to apologize on behalf of all DJs for Scott Shannon's fake suicide prank that he pulled on his show. Rob was wearing a black long sleeve polo shirt, and Mike was wearing a maroon sweater vest. Oscar wasn't in the dream. That's it. That's all.
Thank you, sir.
Huggins and Smoochins, Jason Griffinhagen.
I love the fact that we would be chosen to apologize for a Scott Shannon bit.
A suicide prank.
Yeah, a suicide prank. Probably April Fool's.
That's a dark dream.
Yeah.
Hope you woke up well rested. Start the show, Rob. We're all set.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
Evening, squaw. You married?
Yes.
Is your wife a goer? Eh? Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Nudge, nudge. Know what I mean? Say no more.
Beg your pardon?
Your wife, does she go? Eh? Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Does she go? Eh?
She sometimes goes.
Oh, I bet she does. I bet she does. Say no more. Say no more. Know what I mean? Nudge, nudge.
I'm afraid I don't quite follow you.
Follow me. Follow me. That's good. That's good. A nod's as good as a wink to a blind bat.
Look, are you selling something?
Selling. Very good. Very good. Know what I mean?
But,
Your wife a sport, eh?
She likes sport, yes.
I bet she does. I bet she does.
Yeah, she's very fond of cricket.
Who isn't, eh? Who isn't? Likes games. Knew she would. Who doesn't, eh? She's been around a bit, eh? Been around?
Yeah, she's travelled. She's from Purley.
Oh, say no more. Say no more. Say no more. Purley? Say no more. Know what I mean? Say no more. Your wife interested in photography, eh? Photographs, eh? He asked him knowingly.
Photography?
Yeah. Snap, snap, grin, grin, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Oh, holiday stamps.
Could be. Could be taken on holiday, could be. Swimming costumes. Nudge, nudge. Candid. Candid photography.
No, I'm afraid we don't have a camera.
Oh. Still. Oh! Hey! Hey! Oh!
Look, are you trying to insinuate something?
No, 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 no. Yes.
Well?
Well, I mean, you're a man of the world, aren't you? I mean, you know, you've been around, you've been there.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, you've done it, with a lady. You've slept with a lady.
Yes.
What's it like?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends. A worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS. From Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Atisco Lake, New York, South Bend, Indiana, Somerset, Ohio, Sherman Oaks, California, and Cordoba, Spain.
Cordoba.
The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. That clip was from Terry Jones of Monty Python fame. You know, you missed the biggie for Terry Jones.
Oh, well, I've got it for the audio ball.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. Just checking. The show today brought to you by Cornerstone.
Yes.
If your goal for 2020 is to buy a home, listen up. 2020's housing affordability is at a record high. As of right now, it is actually cheaper to buy a home than it is to rent. Facts. With this historically low interest rate period we're in and low down payment options, experts say it's currently 30% cheaper to buy a home than throw your money away in rental payments. Furthermore, with the limited inventory, experts are predicting the spring home market will start within a month. Quit wasting your time and your money if you need to get a loan. The people to work with, I can tell you personally, Cornerstone First Financial. Call my friend Mark Livingstone, who has all the programs. Plus, with his low rate guarantee, you can't go wrong. They carry my personal endorsement. That's the truth. Roof. I'm Mike O'Mara, and they treated me right. That's the truth. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221. Or check the web at cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. There we are. Yes, there we are. That was the crappiest Monty Python clip.
Why that clip?
For Terry Jones. I hate to tell you that because I love the audio you give, but
you obviously don't hate too much.
He's a straight man.
What about the flesh? Spam, 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 spam.
Oh,
no,
that's the one.
No, no. I disagree. I thought the one that you would request is this one.
Ah, good afternoon, sir.
Oh, Mr. Creosote.
Yes.
Mr. Creosote from The Meaning of Life. Yeah, it's another great one. But isn't Terry Jones, by the way, we'll have Terry Jones featured in the news, 77 years old, passed away.
He's the lady waitress in the spam bit. And
he's the spam lady,
right? Yeah, we have that.
Morning.
There we go. Okay, all right, we'll play it later. We'll play it later.
But I chose
that. That's right. He's Mr. Creosote. There it is.
That is one of my all-time favorites because of the brilliance of the straight man in the bit. I think it's really tough to pull a bit like
that. I don't remember that one. Does that go back to the TV series?
It's in the TV series, and it's also in And Now for Something Completely Different, when they did some of their TV bits in a feature film length. That's always been a favorite of mine.
Skits and bits.
Yeah, skits and bits.
John Cleese wrote Two Down, Four to Go.
God, they're so great.
When Terry passed away. They're funny about death. They are funny.
You remember the bit
about death
when they brought Graham Chapman's urn for the
they go out on stage and they walk on to doing, I think it was a tribute to Graham Chapman. I think that's why they were all there.
Mm.
And they carry all the pythons come out and they're carrying Graham Chapman's urn, and it really looks legit as they're walking around. And I think Cleese probably had it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think it had to be John Cleese that had it. And they get up and it's, you know, you're looking at this this tribute. You're getting ready to laugh mm-hmm. because it's going to be. But then you see this and it's kind of solemn.
Somber,
and Cleese,
yeah.
And Cleese trips with the urn and the ashes go everywhere, all over the place. It was spectacular. It was spectacular for anybody that understands when you're dealing with something that's that sad, to have a moment of fun And they capture that. But Terry Jones was one of the originals, and these guys were they call them the Beatles of comedy in England.
I'd give them that.
I discovered Monty Python, I would say, my freshman year of college, because my parents never, they just weren't, they're foreigners. They just never,
right.
And
right.
I remember sitting there in someone's dorm, and it was a VHS tape. They're like, do you want to watch this? I'm like, what is that? And
then which was it, The Meaning of Life?
Yes, or? Yeah. And he was high, and I was like, all right. and I sat here, I was like, where has this been my entire life?
Yeah,
right.
Like it just for someone who didn't have the background, didn't know that they were superstars, didn't know that this was like a cult cult hit.
Yeah,
right.
It really, for me, I was like, these guys are effing hilarious.
Well, you know,
I
didn't know enough about it. They had a weird ride in America because they were pretty much washed up. Not washed up, but their TV show was done in Great Britain.
5-year run.
Before it ever aired in the United States.
Wow.
So it was very, how did you fall into them? Because I remember the
TV
first
show. The thing about their movies, somebody told me one time, you can put The Meaning of Life on. And this is a long time ago. Somebody said you put by that time it was already on, VHS,
DVD, whatever. Yeah,
you can put The Meaning of Life on and put it in a room of 12 people. And at the end of that movie, there will be 6 people sitting in the room.
Yep.
Because 6 people will think it's the funniest goddamn thing they've ever seen, and 6 people will walk out.
Oh,
now, no disrespect
it's
to the
still edgy.
It's edgy, but I don't think it necessarily holds up as well. But they tackled the issues of the day, religion and abortion and all these things.
Earth control.
There's somebody in this Catholic family, and she's standing at the sink, and the baby comes out. And my favorite is the opening of The Meaning of Life, when part one, birth. And they're bringing, and they just bring the, where's the machine that goes bing?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here I am saying it doesn't hold up, and I'm still quoting it because it's so goddamn funny.
And
The Meaning of Life is also Mr. Creosote's The Meaning of Life.
I believe
too,
so,
right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I love that. I do prefer Holy Grail, although Holy Grail just stops.
I like
that's,
yeah.
The flesh wound, right?
Yes.
Right.
But a good entree.
Just hops around.
This is not Nostalgia Corner, but if you need an entree to it, get the DVD of And Now for Something Completely Different,
which is the sketch show.
Yeah, it's almost like a greatest hits, but it doesn't have an intrusive laugh track. It's the best way, I think, to get to know their style of comedy.
Well, they
and
were brilliant
guys. And
they're,
of course, on Netflix. Yeah.
Highly educated guys.
That's smart.
Which is the theme to the greatest, I think, sketch comedians and movie makers, both in the United States. That these are, when you think about
Ivy
League guys, right?
Yep.
These are
and
guys
gals.
That took their brilliance and their incredible educations and turned it in the direction of comedy, which makes, go do a back check on all the guys that did National Lampoon.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Harvard Lampoon.
Yeah. SNL. Where it came from. You see, you're like, where? Yale? What?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah,
it's just, I think back on the little moments, but Mr. Creosote. And the thing that the British do, that British humor is funny, and Saturday Night Live back in the day did this too. I am somebody that laughs at gross comedy. So if you have Julia Child with Dan Aykroyd cutting her finger, and then you've got the little blood tube that's just, the more blood, the better. Monty Python did that too. And it was so,
that was fun.
It's just hysterical. So Terry Jones, I guess, ill for a while. We'll have his brief obit in the show
today. I think there's an element of sadness when the member of a group passes.
Right.
As opposed to a single death, because you know that the
You'll
element
never
of
see
the,
that again.
The reunion can't happen.
Those days will never come
it's
again.
It's very,
and
very
obviously
sad.
Obviously, he, it sounds like early in his life, earlier than he should, he got the dementia. And
the
all
show
that,
must
but,
go on, though.
The show goes on. Well, they don't perform anymore as far as the
but
comedy.
But they'll be at Comic Con.
But I mean, John Cleese goes out there and does stuff. And
they say
his
one man show, they say, is really great. Like he'll show clips and do
Death
stuff.
Death of a Salesman.
Yes, that's what it is. He plays John Cleese's Lincoln. Is great.
I'd go see John Cleese in a minute.
I would too.
What's the one we saw? We saw who's the other guy that was at
Eric Idle.
Oh. Eric Idle.
Eric
what
Idle,
was that show?
He did Spam a Lot, which is like the the musicalization of Holy Grail with other stuff added in. He's, you know what? He's the one that
it was a bad night.
He's K-N-I-G-H-T. Yeah. He's kept working the most,
right?
I think, after the fact, which he's is probably
Paul.
Good. Yeah, he is.
He's the Paul of
he's
Monty Python.
He's absolutely the Paul McCartney of Monty Python. Paul. And, you know, it's probably good for the brand, but, you know, it's like, you know, take a summer off.
Yeah. That's the way I look at that with that. John Cleese, on the other hand, kind of curmudgeon-y.
Yeah.
Very, you know, comments on the issues of the day on a regular basis, that he's a funny guy.
And Graham Chapman is John because he's dead.
Yes, he's passed. the issues of the day. Is anyone watching the this impeachment situation?
Is anybody paying attention to it? No.
And is that going to be something that bites us? You know, 20 years, 30 years down the road.
Well, it'll bite us now because we're stupid. We're stupid.
I don't.
We are stupid. This is right.
This is my only reference point is when I was on break over the holiday and I went to see my family in California. They watch the news. They're engaged. There is no talk about this impeachment.
Really?
And there should be, because all my dad's doing in the guest room is watching the television. Watching every turn, like as we were building up to the impeachment and now what is the trial, right, in the Senate. And I don't even know why we would call it a trial, because it's not a legal proceeding, right?
It's not going to result in it.
Yeah.
And the results already know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's
so
no,
as I sit here and tell you that in D.C., people care because it's their business. It really affects every day. It's an election year. It's front and center if you're a news junkie. But I feel like your average Joes that don't live in this world, unfortunately, are not paying attention.
It's telling that the network news is, they're putting it off on sub-channels. They're not even really covering it. You know, they're not carrying it.
I'll tell you why I'm not engaged with it. I'm not engaged because the result is a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not going to occupy my time when I know that they're not going to have a real hearing and that witnesses aren't going to be called and all that. If this was a legitimate, I think, you know, in the United States, especially, legitimate trials are, I'm watching a documentary on John Demjanjuk, the Ivan the Terrible from the concentration camps,
right,
when he was extradited over to Israel. And you really don't know, but you're seeing witnesses brought forth and they're talking about the legitimacy of his conviction and witnesses on one side, witnesses on the other side. This is in the hyper-partisan atmosphere we live in right now. Everything's decided.
Yeah.
And it's just the only thing I heard is that if they do it this way, then presidents in the future from both parties will be allowed to, you know, say, well, it's not going to matter. As long as I have control of the Senate, I'm going to be okay. So it's weird. But I think that
I would rather it be over with so we can focus on the election.
I think that's the only way that, you know, people that have a certain
Bloomberg
team are going to do
2020.
That. You like Bloomberg. I know you like the man.
He's spent so much money. If you're going to buy your way to the top, buy your way to the top. But do it while campaigning against the president, not your other actual candidates, you know, that are campaigning.
Yeah, well,
that's what I would say. Then come.
That's what he's doing. You know, that's exactly what
he's
doing.
He's not attacking anybody else.
Nope,
he's just focusing on
the opponent guy.
Yes. Yeah.
The one thing
be interesting to see how that strategy works and whether it does work. It's very, very, I'm curious about Bloomberg. And these kind of commercials are very well done. I mean, they're really, really well crafted.
Spare no expense.
Millions and billions of dollars.
Just like Jurassic Park.
But the one thing. Bloomberg alone in a room eating ice cream.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
One thing that troubles me about the impeachment proceedings is it is a foregone conclusion and it's certainly not a sexy story, but it is history happening right under our nose. This is not something that happens all the time. And we as a country, I think we've talked ourselves in, and I'm included in this, into thinking that since we already know the ending, we don't need to pay attention, really.
You got
to pay attention to this stuff, though, if you want to be
informed. Modern politicians have succeeded in winning the day for people that say, it doesn't matter who I vote for.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. They're all going to do what they want to do anyway. And they have succeeded in, I think, collectively. With that said, Americans love a ball game. Americans love a competition. And let me tell you, this is my theory going forward. I think you are going to see, with this level of apathy regarding impeachment, You're going to see engagement in the next presidential election like you've never seen before.
I hope so.
I think it's going to be incredible. Well, I hope so, depending on who the winner is. That's it. Everybody knows my politics. But, man, right now it is a bit of an idiocracy where we really don't even know what's going on. And why? I guess I get back to this. I get why Congress impeached the president. I get it.
Yes.
At the end of the day, though, it just drives me insane that it's hyper partisan politics. And there's absolutely, I would love it if that wasn't the case. I would love it. And I don't get, my team doesn't need to win. I would love it if it was just, we could really have everybody on an equal footing.
You are the most politically involved of anyone on this show. So I ask you this because I'm genuinely curious. What would be the first step that we would have to take as a political unit to get back to some sort of bipartisan cooperation? What needs to break? What stick needs to break for at least a start?
It's almost impossible to say, but a lot of people are saying the upcoming election.
Okay.
If it goes the other way, you know, we'll get back to that to a certain extent. I've always said that, and I mean this when I say to people, I don't like President Trump, but I have said that I think if he was primaried by a ballsy Republican, there are a lot of people in the Republican Party, very conservative people that have issues with the sitting president. To get back to this thing, I think you have to. I don't think we ever will, because the juggernaut that is Fox News and the counterbalance that is MSNBC and everybody in between, it's become such punditry and not real news. It's very frustrating.
Let me add this, that the most trending news topic within my feed had nothing to do with impeachment. It had everything to do with Jeff Bezos and his phone being hacked allegedly by the Saudi crown prince. And
where do you go? Where do you get your news?
I go to Google. I go to
Google News. Yeah. I didn't see that on my Google feed.
Well, we don't have the same feed, Mike.
Well, maybe the Saudi crown prince also hacked Mike's computer.
Might have hacked
his computer.
Did you hear about that? That is surreal.
I'm looking right now. Hold on a second. I'm going to see what's on my
feed. It is surreal.
Steve Shenavy didn't mention it today.
This is how.
When you say, so it's tailored to what you're interested in?
Yeah, I'm interested in Bezos.
And royalty.
So that rolls up. And dick pics. So
what? You can't say that.
Well, that's what they got. That's what apparently they got.
Senators spill the story on milk at the impeachment trial. I have no idea what that
you're
means.
Into milk. So dairy products.
Coronavirus, number two.
Yeah.
Biden and Sanders, number three.
Sure.
Michelle Carter convicted in texting suicide case. Mnuchin says Greta Thunberg can tell us what to do after she goes and studies economics.
He's a
little smarm germ, isn't he? Yeah. But don't pick on the kid. Yeah.
Mike, I'm sensing a new feature here. I like Mike reads headlines and instantly reacts.
His feed.
Yeah, Mike's feed.
That is Seattle shooting manhunt after one person killed and seven wounded.
I think it's tailored to the person's interests, Mike, clearly, because we have...
The media must call out Senate Republicans' willful ignorance.
I have none of that.
And my feed is all about
the one
food
sci-fi
coupons.
Movie you need to watch on Netflix before it leaves in February.
$2 breakfast at McDonald's.
Scientists figured out why stress turns your hair gray. Almost put that on the news. It might be the news today. I'm not sure.
All right.
I am begging you to butter your hard-boiled eggs.
Hey.
Yeah, you love butter.
I bet you that's on my feed.
Let me just quickly. I'm going to make this as fast as possible. The Washington Post and the UN alleges that the Saudi crown prince, in an effort to basically tone down the coverage of the crown prince's family, Saudi Arabia, the negative coverage and the killing of the reporter by the Washington Post, that the Saudi crown prince and the family bought a malware company.
All right. I don't care about that.
See?
We are so wickedly late.
Right. Yeah, we're late, and I don't care about that. I really don't care.
We're That's late, and I don't care.
Anywhere.
I need Todd Moore back.
50 stories down here. Nothing about that.
But next week, tune in for Mike's feed.
Very good. Yes, Mike's feed. We'll take
How
a break.
How much butter on your bread?
We'll come back with a very, very quick break. I mean, like, ridiculously quick. with more of your fun and thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Say Crown Prince Jeff Bezos.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I like my workplace, but it just isn't hostile enough? Well, right, boy, we do we have the opportunity
for
you.
Sorry, we've heard that. We need new promos. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Legacy Box. Hey! Stop taking that selfie and listen up. Yeah, preserving your recorded memories is every bit as important as capturing them.
Ooh!
Is your family's legacy digitally preserved so it can be passed down for generations to come? Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all your home movies and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. You just go online, purchase the box you need. You'll get a Legacy Box kit, and you'll fill it with all your media. Slap on the prepaid mailing label and send it back. In a couple of weeks, you'll get all your originals back, plus perfectly preserved digital copies ready to watch, share, and relive. Over 750,000 families, including me, Oscar, and Rob, have trusted Legacy Box. You should, too. Get started preserving your past today. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to get an incredible 40% off your first order. Buy today and take advantage of this excellent offer and send it in when you're ready. Save your time and memories. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and save 40% while supplies last. We won't be able to do it today, but I do want to talk about Pony's apartment. I really want
to
find out.
We'll get to it.
Said his weird apartment. And by the way, is everybody looking forward to the staff meeting today?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Meeting today. It's going to be
wonderful.
Do we? Can you briefly, just brief question. This is perfect.
All right.
I'm looking at my sheet. I only look at my sheet when we're running late on time.
Yeah.
What? This is going out to our listeners. Please tell me what kind of animal poo has berries in it, like seeds and berries and all. I saw this poo in my backyard at the new haunted house, and it's we got a big wall.
Have you met most of your neighbors?
That's so nasty.
I was wondering if any of them were on keto, because I know that berries
are the theme of today's show is going to the bathroom outside. Yes. Oh, I have a line that would be completely politically incorrect.
Okay.
And then I wouldn't be able to get away with it. But it would be funny.
Different time.
Yeah, tell us later.
In Texas.
Tell us later.
Yes, yeah. I will.
Do you think
God, it's hard sometimes.
Do you think any
it's
of your so neighbors hard. Could be?
No, my neighbors didn't poop in the backyard. It was an animal, and I looked down at it, and it looks like it's got, it's this blackish poo, but it's all laced with berries.
You know what?
I think raccoons. Obviously scat. It was scat.
I think raccoons eat berries.
Really, raccoons?
I hate raccoons.
Why do you hate raccoons?
Because they eat. Remember the radios in the corn patch? The raccoons eat the corn, so I hate.
Oh,
raccoons.
They eat the corn. Yeah. They eat the corn.
They're smart.
And they have thumbs.
I bet after they ate the corn, you recognize that poo.
Right? Oh yeah. Well, you know, they named it twice.
Raccoon poo. Turner Classic Movies last night had a like this 1940 version of raccoons in a tree being chased by a bobcat and an owl, and it was like obviously they got these animals on a soundstage,
like an old they tried to make it look like a documentary, and it was obviously staged. Yeah, like
it was completely staged,
like that Disney stuff where they would like
the early Disney stuff
with the narrator that always said, "Now who can tell?" But it seems that Bobo the Mountain Lion's got another idea.
Yeah, they write a story.
I don't know who that narrator was.
They write a story because they sent three drunk cameramen out to film, like, you know, a snake attacking a hedgehog. And they come back and say, "We got a story here." All he wanted to do was go home.
Now, here's the little bear cub. He's waiting by the Disney. We got to get some of those. Those are fun. Now, take a look at him.
When you watch
him, he doesn't
him,
even know what he's doing.
You think that this is that they're fake. Like, I've seen him. I saw him later in life, and I was like, this is fake.
Oh, well, it's all reconstructed because they sent out a silent crew. They get as much footage as they can. They bring it back. They write a story and then narrate it. Yeah, that's what they do.
Benji was perfect.
And it's super cheap. No, at least Benji was like where you really had to stage the animals and put that. This was like wildlife footage where the cougar would be running through the woods, and it's and now he's waiting for breakfast. He's going to get his breakfast, something like that. We got to take a break. When we come back, this is a wonderful little subject I want to talk with you guys about. Actors we avoid on cable.
Ah, okay. All right.
When I'm surfing at night, I go through my movie channels a lot just to see if there's anything worth watching. Mm. And there are so many actors that I just, if he's in it or she's in it,
You're out?
I don't get out. It. I don't have any desire.
Damn.
Oscar, I believe you and I will be as far apart on this subject as any human beings
and
could ever
be. And I bet you
be.
And I will jive.
We will probably jive together on this. Absolutely. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and thrills right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, how's it going, my TMO's friends? This is your boy,
Very cold
Tomo.
Today.
Yeah. You probably haven't heard from me in a while because I've been deplatformed. I've been censored. Yeah, that's what happens when you love this country. They just cancel culture. Well, the good news is TMO is still spreading the message that the mainstream media wants to hear. Today's show is brought to you by foodprepper.darknet. They may have deplatformed us.
All right, stop the promo. Stop the promo. All right. We have
Todd says hello,
show.
By the way.
Oh, so you're speaking to him.
Yesterday was my first point of communication since he's moved.
Would he like to come on the show?
I'll text him right now.
All right. I think it would be interesting to talk to
Mike,
Todd.
Mike, can I quote something from the Terminix website?
Yes.
Raccoon feces often contain pieces of undigested berries that can easily be seen.
Raccoons.
Yes. This
Absolutely.
Is a new. This is a new wrinkle because you're in a new community. Raccoons were not a deal at the old place.
Raccoons.
Dang.
They're ripping our face off. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Ring. Ring's mission to make neighborhoods safer. Everybody by now has seen the viral videos of Ring doorbell cams and Ring cameras where you see the package snatchers. It's really great that Ring has gone wide with these. Ring helps you stay connected to your home anywhere in the world. So if there's a package delivery or surprise visitor, you get an alert. You're able to see, hear, and speak to them all from your phone. That's thanks to the HD video and two-way audio features on a Ring device. I have the Ring floodlight cam. By the way, I paid for the extra data storage, so I get to keep my Ring video camera forever. And you can keep track of Maine, which I do. Snow on the ground up there right now. I check it a few times a day. It's great. I can see snow. Lovely. TMOS listeners, you have a special offer on a Ring starter kit available right now. With a video doorbell, motion-activated floodlight cam, the starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. With Ring, you're always home. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS. Okay, this is a last-minute thing, but it fascinated me because I was thinking about how this time of year, when we're, for some reason, right in the middle part of January before the Super Bowl, the offerings on cable television are frustrating. Now, that's an old way of digesting cinema because now with all the options
on demand,
we have with
sure.
streaming, yeah. it's much easier. But in my case, it's just too lazy to get up and grab the other remote.
Right.
So I'm sitting there with, going through DirecTV and the movies that I overpay for, these movie channels, and I'm saying to myself, there are so many movies on cable that feature actors that I don't watch, that I will, if they're in a movie, I will not watch.
A polar opposite of like in the old days when you say, hey, say Clint Eastwood has a new movie out. I'm going to go see that movie because it's a Clint Eastwood movie. This is the other polar opposite reaction.
This is it. And I'm sitting there thinking about there was a time where I wouldn't miss a movie with Gene Hackman in it.
Right.
I was a huge Gene Hackman. You put Gene Hackman in a movie.
Great flicks.
I'd love it. Most recently before he retired, movies like Crimson Tide.
Yes.
There's a movie where he plays, I think he's in The Unforgiven as with Clint Eastwood.
He is.
Just as, as Curly Bill or whatever the guy's name. Not Curly Bill. He was a... I don't know what his name was.
Yes,
he had like a baby name.
It's Gene Hackman as Curly Bill.
He had a baby name, but he was like, I don't know. But he's a mean guy.
Yeah.
So here are the actors.
Like? Who do you not like?
Yeah.
These are the actors that I avoid when anything on. For example, if I see Tim Allen is in a movie,
yes,
I do not. I've never.
Santa Claus 2.
Never. Not on the on my deathbed. Not if you had one television with one program on it, anything with Tim Allen. I loathe Tim Allen.
What's his sitcom, idiot. Man of the House or whatever that is?
If it's a Tim Allen sitcom, I'm not watching.
You're not in.
Hated
him
clever.
From day one.
I didn't like Tim Allen from the, let me see. Moving right along, you mentioned him before. Martin Lawrence.
Oh no,
not interested in Martin Lawrence.
What about a thing where he dresses as a woman and has a house and calls
Tyler Perry
Big
is at
Mama's
the end of my
house.
List, Rob. Rob, Tyler Perry is at the end of my list.
Well, I was doing Big Mama's House. That's different
Same
than
thing.
Madea.
Same thing.
Those movies.
It's bad drag.
I don't know. I would love to know.
For you.
I think Madea's Halloween has got to be fantastic.
They're not really,
can you imagine?
They're not really.
Exactly.
So it makes sense that you're not a Tyler Perry movie fan. Like, that would make sense.
So, but it's, this is, let's not make this a racial thing, Oscar, and, okay? Listen to me. Back in the day, there was one movie I watched that featured Vin Diesel, and it was called Boiler Room.
I remember.
And I thought he was fantastic in it. I haven't watched anything that Vin Diesel has done. If I see it's a Vin Diesel movie, I know it's going to be car chases and cars blowing
or
up.
Or he could be a nanny.
Crap. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Crap.
The nanny?
Yes.
It's crap.
That was a bad
call. Mike, this just in. He was not Curly Bill. He was Little Billy. I'm sorry.
Bill.
Little Bill Daggett was his name.
Little Bill.
Little Bill. Daggett.
All right.
That's great, man. At least we get
from
all
the Charlie Birney News Agency that just arrived. Thank you, Charlie.
I've come to kill you, Little Bill. Anyway, that's a good movie. Jackie Chan movies. I don't watch Jackie Chan movies. I
I'm
think they're
you.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I think they're dumb movies.
He does his own stunts.
Same. Well, maybe it's some martial arts.
You didn't like
thing.
Him in Rush Hour?
Never watched Rush Hour. Okay. Never saw it.
All right.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Won't watch a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Oh, wait. Not even when you were younger?
No.
Mike was younger. There was no
You've
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You've never seen Lionheart?
No.
Or Kickboxer?
Nope.
Oh, Mike, this
with
is...
With a name like Kickboxer, what's the movie about?
They're right up your alley. These movies are right up your alley.
I don't know.
You love violence.
After the Hangover franchise, I have now boycotted Ed Helms. I watch the Hangover movies, but I do not watch movies with
I'm
Ed
actually
Helms
with you with that Ed Helms.
And you know what? He's
I do
like
not
an,
care for
he's
Ed
like
Helms.
An asterisk in the Hangover. He's not so important that he can ruin it, but he could have.
Right.
He could have.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we mentioned Tyler Perry. That was just a few, because I know there are more, but those are the ones that I could think of off
does,
the top of my head.
Is Carla of the age that she says, why are you watching this on television? Like, why, does she ever question you and your watching habits?
You want to see Carla's movie choices?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah,
there.
Sure.
And her media. There.
Oh, it's just the phone.
On the phone. Okay,
constant.
Sense. Yeah.
If you took this away from my wife, she would perish and fall into the sea.
Okay.
She would no
what
longer
What a wonderful
be.
Chip yes. to hold.
Yeah,
World War. I was sick this past weekend.
Right.
World War Z was on, I think, TBS.
Yeah.
And we have the movie channels, but for some reason, I'm watching TBS. And
Isn't that Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
yeah
that.
That's a good movie. Brad Pitt. I'm going to watch a Brad Pitt movie. Yeah,
great movie.
And, I like Brad Pitt.
And by
Quentin
the way,
Tarantino. Going to watch everything Quentin Tarantino.
Whoever's programming TBS, if that was... No, I'm sorry. Corrected. FXX. New network.
Ah, yes.
FXX, right?
Yes, really.
So they know that there's something going on coming out of China, and they put on World War Z because it's timely, because it's about the virus that's taking down people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turning into zombies.
Yeah, that's what it
and, so I'm laid out in bed, and Shannon comes in. She's like, what are you watching? I'm like... World War Z. And she goes, oh, I've never seen this film. And she said, well, I said, we can watch it again. Just got to rewind it. She starts rewinding and she's like, you're watching this with commercials? And I said, well, yeah, because like I'm not doing it. Like I'm sick laying
it's
in bed.
Like it's,
I watched The Little Revenant with The Revenant.
And she looked at me like I was 80 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I not just stop it if I saw it, find it on demand, and just start playing it?
Because you're a dude.
It's not the same.
You're a dude. Life. You're sitting there. You got your the television is your friend.
It's my friend.
And the friend is giving you something, and you're not going to go find it when it's just being given to you.
There's an
with
element.
No effort on your part.
There's an element of chance and excitement. Element of chance and excitement and luck when you land on one of your favorite movies, even if it's on network. You watch it.
Real quick, we got to break. So tell me, give me at least one of yours. An actor that if he's in a movie, you're not going to watch.
I hate Colin Firth.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's fascinating.
That is
really
messed up.
Don't like him.
The King's Speech, not a fan.
It's okay. I mean, he looks, that's a good exception, but when he does a romantic comedy, I don't buy him in romantic comedies because he doesn't have the charisma. But you did find, you found a chink in my armor with the King's Speech. That was a good movie. But also,
that was a good movie.
He was not playing sexy in that, so I can buy that.
And he does the action adventure ones too. The action movies, which is I forgot.
He looks like a real action adventure guy.
Yeah.
Not a film star anymore. But his films get a lot of replay on these cable networks. Ashton Kutcher. I can't take him seriously.
See, that's wonderful.
Kelso. He's always Kelso to you.
Can't do it.
You know, I'm with you. Let me add him to my list.
I can't
too.
Do it. I'm like, no.
That's it. All right. Yeah, think of more. Hey, feel free to bring him in every day. I like that, you know. I think we help our listeners when we do that. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. What happened to the show today? My God.
Hey there, hon. It's Bomber Betty. You know my cousin Billy. Oh my goodness, I gotta tell you a story. He was so, so sad, crying in his natty bow after them Ravens lost. We had to call the police and the ambulance, and we were all praying to the Lady of Fatima because he was so depressed. What are we gonna do? Then we had a great idea. Let's cheer him up. We got him a Mike O'Mara bonus show. All his buddies at the Glen Burnie Bowling Alley got one, too. Before you knew it, they were all happy and laughing again over that extra hour of funny. So what you waiting for? Demos to win a game? Head on over to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the gift certificate link today.
Thank you very much. I love Baltimore. What is your name?
Betty.
Baltimore Betty. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, 2020, it's going to be a great year,
yes,
everyone.
Yes.
Curb Your Enthusiasm returns to home box office. Sweet Jesus.
Did They're you see the first episode?
Of Curb Your Enthusiasm? For this season,
Mike, it's so great.
Oh,
really?
I can't wait.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
This, you know, you guys have been trying to, it's the whole Larry
Just
David
give it a
thing,
shot,
you know?
Man. Just give it a shot.
They're making a Fantasy Island movie. Hello.
Yes.
Independence Day falls on a Saturday. Look out. And the Summer Olympics hit Tokyo. And 2020 marks the 20th year that Zappos continues to offer over 1,000 trusted brand names to help millions of customers create long-lasting wardrobes they love. And Zappos does it with the absolute best customer service and a selection that is unmatched. No matter what it is, if you wear it, get it at Zappos. We just ask that you support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Just click the banner. As always, Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thank you, Zappos. You make us look good all year long. See you in Tokyo for the high diving and whatnot. That is, if the high divers pass the drug test.
They're high divers.
Wow. Oh, let me hit this. There we are.
News.
Boo. Legendary Monty Python star Terry Jones. We talked about it. He died Tuesday night. He was 77 years old. His family said he passed with his wife by his side after, quote, a long, extremely brave, but always good-humored battle with a rare form of dementia called FTD. Terry was a founding member of the Monty Python comedy troupe, along with Graham Chapman, John Cleese, Eric Idle, Michael Palin, and Terry Gilliam. They first rose to fame on the British sketch comedy show Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Monty Python's Flying Circus.
That aired from 1969 to 1974. They also made several movies, including Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, and Life of Brian, which Terry directed. Terry was diagnosed with dementia in 2015. In 2016, Palin revealed that he was no longer able to speak. So he was like that for a long time. Which
that's such a
sad.
That's the saddest way to go, especially with a mind that brilliant.
Yes.
To be robbed of your sense of speech is just
Rob will have some clips from that, and including some really, really funny stuff. From
Did you know that one of the biggest fans of Monty Python from way back was Beatle George Harrison?
And really?
I believe it was Grail. He wrote a check to them so they could finish it. He wanted to see it, and they couldn't.
Investors in their movies were a lot of rock guys. Mike Rutherford and I think Genesis.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of rock guys in England that invested in Monty Python movies and made a ton of money when they were doing that. It was incredible.
Eric Idle did one of the first great parodies of the Beatles called The Ruddles, and it really skewers the Beatles in an unfriendly way at certain points, but George Harrison is in it. So he actually gave Monty Python access to old Beatles footage he could make. He just loved them so much, and it's so sad that he had to pass that
on. Jessica Simpson is somebody I would not necessarily put at the top of my news, but she's got a new memoir coming out called Open Book, where she discusses how she felt when her ex-boyfriend John Mayer called her sexual napalm.
Hey! Look now, out.
We'll get back to this sexual napalm thing, all right? She says it was shocking to hear and adds, quote, he thought that was what I wanted to be called. I was floored and embarrassed by that my grandmother was actually going to read that. She says John repeatedly told her he was, quote, sexually and emotionally obsessed with her. John Mayer is so full of crap. Yeah. I mean, John Mayer
I wouldn't
is
watch
the
his
Antichrist.
Movie.
Yeah, but what's, what's her story? Like, she was just embarrassed?
Well, I want to get back to the... I don't, you know... I would assume, we'll get back to it.
Okay.
Let me just finish the story and then we'll talk about that. She also reveals that his intelligence drove her to drink.
He's so dumb.
She says, quote, I constantly worried that I wasn't smart enough for him. He was so clever and treated conversation like a friendly competition that he had to win. My anxiety would spike and I would pour another drink. It was the start of me relying on alcohol to mask my nerves.
I want to congratulate Mike O'Mara because I thought today... I couldn't hate John Mayer anymore, but right. Now I hate him more based on that story.
Well, but there she is kind of, she's doing two things. She's advertising that she's like, duh,
yeah,
which
well, that's
anybody
her
that
brand.
Saw that reality
attractive.
Show. And she's blaming him for her drinking. I think that's a little over the top. But getting back to the sexual napalm, can't you take that two ways where you can say when it comes to sex, she's scorched earth?
Yeah.
Or you say she's so hot.
That's how I take it.
That's how I would take it.
I take it as super hot.
The positive.
Yeah.
Sexual napalm.
Or wow. It sticks to your skin. I don't know. Does that make any sense? Is that anything?
I don't know.
But I think John Mayer is a super dick.
He
I
is.
Really do.
Yeah.
I think he's
mm-hmm.
Well, clearly has one.
He's intellectual napalm.
New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning announced he will retire tomorrow after 16 years with the team. He'll make the formal announcement tomorrow. He's 39 years old. Team president John Mara said, quote, Eli is our only two-time Super Bowl MVP and one of the very best players in our franchise's history. He represented our franchise as a consummate professional with dignity and accountability. It meant something to Eli to be the Giants quarterback, and it meant even more to us. We are beyond grateful for his contributions to our organization. Of course, those contributions were pretty minimal this season. He was benched for Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, or Danny Nichols, and he was looking at either being a backup or going to another team next season. He holds almost every passing record in Giants history and led the team to two Super Bowl victories over
the New England Patriots.
You go. There you go.
You've had a long, complicated relationship with Eli Manning.
Wasn't he really fired?
Yeah, he was fired.
He was invited to retire.
Like that's.
And my problem with Eli is a lot of a lot of bad seasons as well as the great seasons, and also that mouth always being open, like butterflies could fly in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the only other players to be Super Bowl MVP twice are. Listen to this company he's in. Joe Montana, Bart Starr, Tom Brady, and Terry Bradshaw. He will march into the Hall of Fame. I think
it's
a lock.
In. Yeah.
But yeah.
His last three seasons have been really horrible.
Yeah. Really, really hard to deal with. What have you done for me lately? The NFL. Sad news for fans of Mr. Peanut. A video posted yesterday shows Mr. Peanut driving his Nutmobile with Wesley Snipes and comedian Matt Walsh, who played Mike McClintock on Veep. Did you see the video?
I have. This pisses me off.
Why does this...
Let me have fun
with this.
All right. But I've got a theory.
In the video, Mr. Peanut swerves to avoid an armadillo. The vehicle goes off a cliff, and all three guys spill out and end up hanging onto a branch. Since it's too heavy for all three of them, Mr. Peanut sacrifices himself with a little wink. In a tweet, Mr. Peanut's estate said, quote, it is with heavy hearts that we confirm Mr. Peanut has passed away at 104 years old. He will be remembered as the legume who always brought people together for nutty adventures and a good time. But Mr. Peanut might not be gone for good. His funeral will be part of a Planters Super Bowl ad that will run during the third quarter.
This is genius.
So they're gonna bring. They're obviously gonna bring him back.
Well, maybe not. There might be a new character.
But the thing that I didn't like about it is that I did watch the commercial, and it's got that Super Bowl thing where they put about 75 seconds of content into 29 seconds, and it moves. It's just it's a headache. The commercial's a headache. So they need to slow down. Slow down, Peanut.
Right. I hope that somebody at the estate.
The estate.
In the follow-up commercial, that some like a fan member steps up and like throws on the monocle. Like that's like the new
hip, passing of the torch.
The new hip Mr. Peanut.
Oh, it's a live action Mr. Peanut. Yeah. Very exciting.
But it's Tyler Perry.
Stress makes you go gray. We've all known that forever, but we never knew why. Well, scientists at Harvard finally figured it out. It has to do with your sympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for your fight or flight response under stress. It turns out that when it gets activated, it can produce a chemical that attacks the cells that color your hair. And when it happens enough times, your hair goes gray for good. I'm doing pretty well as a 60-year-old
good.
Man.
You look good.
You're living a good life.
A lot here, a lot here. The good life, but the beard.
Yeah.
I guess I had a fight or flight instinct in my mouth.
Yeah. No. What about a few marriages?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. This one. Oh, thank you. Very, very, very good. So anyway, gray hair. Philly Flyers mascot. Oh, a little something something.
Okay, now. Very good.
Philly Flyers mascot, Gritty, is now under investigation.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
For assault. Seriously. Back in November, Gritty was doing a photo shoot with fans, and one 13-year-old kid hit Gritty on the head after a photo. The kid's dad says the kid, quote, playfully patted Gritty. But apparently that infuriated him, and Gritty allegedly got up and punched the kid in the back. The Flyers say they investigated. The person in the Gritty costume denied everything, and no witnesses backed up the story, so they dropped it. But the police aren't so sure, so they are still investigating. The Flyers are taking no chances. If Gritty is charged, they will replace him as a mascot with his girlfriend, Titty.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. I had to do it. We will take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is Al Pacino.
Al.
I'd like to talk about the TMOS Yak Shack. Are they doing it or not? What's the deal? Come on! What are they doing? I got the number right here, 888-920-6673. Can you deliver on a deadline? Can you deliver on a deadline? Can you do the Yak Shack? And please, for the love of God, tell me what's going on with this de-aging software. I don't know. I don't even know where I am anymore.
Thank you, Al. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our wonderful bonus packages. I know that it's cold and windy right now, but spring is right around the corner. That means it's not too early to submit your application for the 2020 class of the Matty Masiello Curd College.
Oh. Hey!
Miles of cheese, if you please. 2020 marks the fourth anniversary of this classic tutorial celebrating solid form curdled dairy treats. This year, we'll meet at the DC Armory, which has smelled like cheese for years. Sign up and learn why goat cheese is not the greatest of all time. Students accepted before February 10th, get a free box grater while supplies last. The class will feature sessions with famous cheese thought leaders like Swiss Khalifa, Havarti Lang, Mozzarella Fitzgerald, Herman Munster, Parmesan Connery, Bruno Mascarpone, Eddie Cheddar, Feta Thunberg, Camembert Grills.
Pretty good.
Monterey Jack Black. Gouda Friedlander. And, of course, Ray Romano. All participants will also receive the Mike O'Mara bonus show, and you can get one, too. Thank you very much. Just click the banner on our website, and you get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It's the passport to the Asport. Copyright TMOS 2020, the TMOS bonus show. Grab it now and be very dairy today. Thank you very much. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is, what is this, the 23rd?
23rd.
Thursday, the 23rd, 2020. Rob Spiewak, take it away.
Gouda Friedlander.
Yeah. I like Ray Romano.
Well, that's how, yeah, how he worked backwards from that.
Very good.
All right, so we mentioned Terry Jones of Monty Python passed at age 77. The most tragic thing for me is that it was dementia, and yeah, I've lost relatives to dementia, and it's not fair when that's what claims your life, especially when it compromised his quality of life for the last couple of years. So a right, few moments. Mike mentioned this earlier. He is the waitress in the famous Spam skit.
Morning.
Morning.
What you got then?
Well, there's egg and bacon. Egg, sausage and bacon. Egg and Spam. Egg, bacon and Spam. Egg, bacon, sausage and Spam. Spam, bacon, sausage and Spam. Spam, egg, Spam, Spam, bacon and Spam. Spam, 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 egg and Spam. Spam, 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 baked beans, Spam, Spam, Spam and Spam. Oh, lobster, thermidor, crevette, bolognese sauce.
You pause it for a sec. He was the best drag one of the Pythons.
Oh, well, his voice is what made
Terry
it.
Terry Jones was just fantastic.
Ow! Intercourse the penguin.
Fantastic.
And then find a dot and Spam. Have you got anything without Spam in it? Well, Spam egg, sausage and Spam. It's not got much Spam in it. I don't want any Spam.
Why can't you have egg, bacon, Spam and sausage?
That's got Spam in it.
Not as much as Spam, egg, sausage and Spam.
Look, could I have egg, bacon, Spam and sausage without the Spam?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I don't like Spam. Can't I have egg, bacon, Spam and sausage without the Spam? Why not? No, it wouldn't be egg, bacon, Spam and sausage, would it? I don't like Spam.
Don't make a fuss, dear. I'll have your Spam. I love it. I'm having Spam, 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 baked beans, Spam, Spam and Spam.
Flash.
Yes.
Can I have Spam instead?
One of the best ever.
So that goes on, and of course, Vikings come in. And then as a nod to Mike, one of our favorites, of course, the world's fattest man, Mr. Creosote.
Ah, good afternoon, sir, and how are we today?
Better.
Better?
Better get a bucket. I'm going to throw up.
I guess so. A bucket for monsieur.
A bucket for monsieur.
So finally, monsieur, a wafer thin mint.
Bah.
Oh, sir, it's only a tiny little thin one.
Now, f*** off, I'm full.
Oh, sir. It's only a wafer thin.
I couldn't eat another thing. I'm absolutely stuffed. Bugger horse.
Just
one. Just one.
Just one.
Puts in his mouth, and then Cleese does the Monty Python run.
Yes!
Because he explodes.
Bon appétit.
Hold up. Then he runs away. People, 50% of people run away from it.
I don't get
why I'm laughing so much.
I run towards it. This video is on In Safe Home, Terry Jones.
Yes.
This video is on the TMOS Facebook page. You know how sometimes when you pick up a duck and you lower it into water, it starts paddling? Dogs will do it too.
I've never lowered a duck into water.
But I've seen it, they'll start paddling before they hit the water. This guy did is he found a duck that always did that when he picked it up, and he put it on a snare drum.
Awesome. That's awesome.
All I know is I would have been to the studio about 20 minutes earlier today if I hadn't found this video because I kept hitting play.
Great sound.
Not bad rhythm. Not bad rhythm. That's a duck on a snare drum. That is your magic audio ball. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Oh, that's it. We got to get out of here. And really, thank you so much for supporting TMOS. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Get off my property or I'll call the cops on you.
Throw me a freaking bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
USA, greatest country in the world.